The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
With rebuilding costs having jumped by more than a fifth over the past year, that's according to the Society of Chartered Surveyors in Ireland, means that many homeowners are underinsured on their homes in the event of a fire or any kind of damage. With us are two people with some expertise in this area, one being Paul Walsh, who is CEO of People Insurance. But before we talk to Paul, we'll talk to Pete Finn, otherwise known as Pete the Builder. Pete, the costs that we're seeing and the materials and labour costs, what are the prime drivers, or is it across the board?
Hey, Anton. Yeah, look, this has been sort of building within the industry for quite a while now, and it has been covered, you know, in the media for a while. But the original cost started raising way back when China seemingly had bought up all of the steel, and then America had seemingly bought up an awful lot of the timber that was available. So the raw materials were in demand. Then that was in around the time of the start of the pandemic. And then coming out of the pandemic, we had other issues. You know, obviously, the cost of transport had massively risen. So you had demand and you had transport costs driving the factors. And then, of course, we've now got the situation in Ukraine. So there, what were the reasons that were given for the increase in the raw materials? And then that has absolutely come across into our industry and is hitting the high street, if you like, in Ireland at the moment, in terms of any building material that you buy at the moment has massively increased. And it doesn't seem like the costs have settled a little bit of the raw material stages, but pretty much there's been across the board an increase in all building products.
And this is everything. This is cement, copper, PEX, timber, steel.
Yeah, it started with the raw materials, as I said there, like sheet metal materials and timber, and then obviously raw steel were the first ones to go up. But then there's been a lot of change within the industry in terms of, you know, we have the climate change battle, and there is some regulation that has been brought in on a lot of the manufacturers of the construction products, that they have to be making the products, or they have to make the products in a more energy efficient way, which is absolutely a good thing. But that has had a small increase in costs. Obviously, we know that the cost of energy has gone through the roof. So if you're running a factory or a plant, your costs are going up, transport costs have gone up, and demand. So there's just so many factors there coming together. And yes, the answer to your question, it is across the board. It's pretty much any material that you're buying now was probably, you know, close to 20% cheaper last year. They did come in different phases, the raw materials first, and then some other products then afterwards. Insulation costs as well are huge, and they keep fluctuating, which is even more difficult when it comes to the raw materials.
What about labour costs? Because I assume both contractors and subcontractors are looking at inflation at 9% and thinking, well, we're going to have to hike our rates to make ends meet.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, everybody is feeling the pinch when it comes to the cost of living crisis or cost of living increases that have happened. And the first thing that people always say, I find it very interesting, I'm an employer, and the first thing people always say is we need to get more wages. And that's fair enough. I was an employee myself, and I totally understand that. But how does the employer then give the employee more money? He has to increase his costs. So, yes, there's no doubt about it. There has been an increase in cost in labour. Like, when I go to ask my subcontractor for a cost now, his material costs have gone up and his labour costs have gone up, his transport costs have gone up, his living costs have gone up. So there absolutely has been an increase in the cost of labour as well, yes.
So if we add all that together, if you've got the energy hikes, the transport cost hikes, the materials hikes, the labour cost hikes, let's say I came to you 3 years ago and had a €100,000 rebuild or extension. The same build now, how much do you think it would have gone up?
It's definitely gone up between 30% and 40%, I would say. Again, it depends on the build. Every build is different. It depends on the materials that you're using. You know, there's so many different factors there. But if you want to be general about this, you know, you're talking somewhere between 30% and 40%. Now, that's 3 years ago. You know, there was already increases coming 3 years ago. But in the last 18 months to 2 years is when we've seen the real spike in costs.
And of course, one of the big implications of that then is insurance for damages, because let's say you're insured on a rebuild cost of €300,000. If we take your increases that you're suggesting now, you could be underinsured to the tune of €100,000, given the way that the costs have increased. With us is the CEO of People Insurance, Paul Walsh. Paul, would you be recommending that people have another look at what their insurance covers?
Absolutely, Anton. Good morning. And precisely what Pete has been saying, Anton. Prices have been increasing. The input cost to a rebuild, repairing a home, have gone up by about 30% in the past 2 years, Anton. And that's what today's information is beginning to show most householders. So what was 300,000 back in 2 years ago, in terms of the home value that you put onto your home insurance policy, is about 390,000 today. So you're absolutely right. Unfortunately, it leaves most householders, if they haven't checked that in the last 2 years, feeling a little bit exposed in terms of being underinsured.
Now, do people, when they put down the rebuild value on their insurance policies, do they not tend to default to the overall value and therefore overinsure themselves?
Great question, Anton. Generally, no. What you'll find is most good insurers and good insurance brokerages actually flag this at the time when you're taking out your insurance policy and also at the time that you're renewing it. So there is a very good explanation on most insurance websites where they actually indicate, look, this is not the cost of buying your home. Actually, it's the cost of you rebuilding it. The difficulty, Anton, is that duty of or that obligation is placed on you, the householder, as if we're actually surveyors and we actually know these answers. So the difficulty is most of us end up guessing it, or we have to go off and figure it out somehow. So there's an imprecise science that it's left with us. You're right. I think traditionally most of us default to the home purchase price or what we thought the value was, the value of our home was. But it isn't the same thing, Anton. They are very different.
Presumably the gap can be huge. If you're living in, let's say, a three-bed terraced house in a suburb of Dublin with high house prices, you could have €750,000 of value in the house purchase, but maybe only €300,000 to rebuild.
Yeah, that would be a concern. That's why we always say to anybody taking out a policy, it's worth you checking. There's three very simple things you should do. The first one we should all do, and we should do most years, check. There's a free little tool on the Society of Chartered Surveyors website, scsi.ie, and actually tells you how much your home rebuild value will be, depending on which part of the country you're in and the type of house you have. So it's worth checking it, and a number of those insurance websites have a link to this as well, Anton, so it's easy to check. We generally don't find, though, there's very many people insuring their homes up at 700,000. The average we tend to see across, certainly across people and across most of the country that we insure, is in the 300,000 to 500,000 range. And that would be where most of your semi-detached or detached rebuild values would be, Anton.
And in terms of the insurance, can you, if you are insuring your house, say, well, look, the materials that I have used are extremely high end. So I'm neck deep in smart technology. I have Cat5 cabling or whatever the modern version is throughout the entire house. I have the best of everything. Therefore, my rebuild value is disproportionate to my neighbors. Or will the insurance company say, no, there is a limit to how much we will give you?
No, you're absolutely right the first time around, particularly if you have invested in rebuilding your home, adding an extension out on one of the biggest challenges. Most of us have added an attic extension or even put a garage onto the side of our home, increased the real value of it, but forgot to just update our policy. So they're the very basics. The more you have in your home, the higher you value it. It is your valuation. And if you've got high-end appliances, high-end Cat cabling in it, worth you just thinking about the value of your home and adding that into your policy. It is what you insure it for. So if there's a major incident, like a fire, as Pete said, and your insurer comes out to check the size of the damage, the fact that you've got this cabling in, the fact that you've been able to do it and evidence it, just means that you're able to get that claim paid to the full value. However, on the other hand, if you've underinsured it, they'll only pay you a proportion of that claim.
Pete was talking earlier on about the market and the increase on the cost side. I assume, Pete, the other thing that we saw over the last number of years was a huge increase on the demand side, because everybody went through lockdown, ended up staring at their own four walls and thinking, right, I'm finally going to do the extension, or I'm finally going to replace that appliance, or I'm finally going to do the attic or whatever it is that I have wanted to do. Is that tailing off a bit now, or is demand just as strong as it has been?
Well, the demand at this moment in time is definitely still the same. There is talk of it tapering off a little bit next year, but you're dead right. What was happening was people were sitting at home. They weren't spending. They weren't going on holidays. They weren't driving their cars. So they had, a lot of people actually ended up with some surplus cash, and, you're dead right again. They were looking at their own homes, and there was itches that needed to be scratched in people's homes, and then there was just a surge of of requests and demand for construction workers to do loads of different types of construction on people's homes. So, you know, it's not quite as forensic as it was back then, but it's certainly, the demand is still there. Look, you've got to remember as well, Anton, we're living in a time when there's a housing crisis. We also have the retrofit schemes going on as well. So there's a huge demand for construction. And again, I don't think that work is going to taper off as quickly as it has in previous years, you know, where we had Celtic Tiger issues and things like that. It's not going to be as sudden a drop as that. But I do think that there will be maybe a slowing down from this like crazy demand that has been going on over the last 12 months.
You mentioned the things like the retrofit. What are you seeing in terms of market trends in relation to the energy crisis, whether that be customers looking for heat pumps or triple glazing or geothermal or any of that kind of thing? Is it starting to feed through into the requests that you're getting?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Like, you know, first of all, the specifications of houses have risen, so that, you know, we're getting to A-rated homes pretty much every build that you do, which is a really good thing. And people are understanding that if they invest in their home in terms of increasing the energy efficiency of the home, it means that, you know, it doesn't cost them as much to run the home going forward. Again, that's reducing the carbon footprint and it really helps. There's huge targets that have been set by our government and lots of other governments across Europe as well that they have to meet by certain dates. So there's incentives being put out there. Like, there was really good incentives put out by the SEAI grants. But unfortunately, then, the cost of construction since those grants has come out. So they're probably not as, you know, they're not, there's not as much, they're not as lucrative as they were for the homeowner when they first came out. But they're still very good and there's absolutely a drive towards that. And it has to happen as well, Anton, like, 'cause this climate battle is not going away. And while we may be thinking, you know, we've got problems at the moment, you know, we need to look into the future and make sure that, you know, we're reducing our carbon footprint and also reducing our own cost. Like, look at the energy crisis at the moment, like the cost of not only construction, but the cost of running our homes, like the cost of energy at the moment is huge. So if you can reduce the amount of energy you're using, obviously, you know, that's going to be a good thing. But there is an investment to be made to upgrade your home to get to that point. So, you know, it's a huge conundrum. But, you know, we really do need to get to a point where all our homes are much more energy efficient. So therefore, going forward, they're not going to cost us as much, because energy looks as though it's only going to go one way as well, you know.
There's a couple of specific questions about how you do the valuation. And Paul, I'll get them to you in one take. Just before that, big thank you to Peter Finn, otherwise known as Pete the Villa. And I have to say, Pete, best of luck in Celebrity Hell Week.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm a bit like the construction industry at the moment. I've got a hood over my head walking around in the dark on Hell Week, and I'm doing it for charity as well. Obviously, it's for the Children's Health Foundation. So if people are enjoying the show and would like to make a donation to, I'm recruit number three on Ultimate Hell Week. So thanks for that, Anton.
We'll keep our fingers crossed on your behalf, Pete. Thanks again. So those questions then, Paul. Do most insurance companies not index link property values on house insurance to keep rebuilding costs in line with inflation? They certainly used to.
Unfortunately not, Anton, no. What the insurers have done is they've basically pushed that back to the consumer. So each year, when you receive your home insurance packet, most householders get this, they're actually asked to tick a number of boxes before they renew. One of those is to confirm that all the valuations are correct. So unfortunately, they've actually pushed that back on each of us, Anton. Sorry about that.
Well, on that note, that we're getting a lot of people who are, you know, they are on the outlier edges of the bell curve when it comes to trying to calculate costs, asking about either geographical regions or things like this one. Anton, the SESI guide is great, but it only relates to standard modern houses, not older houses like Victorian or Georgian or architect designed houses or houses with above standard finishes. Also, there's a big difference between building and rebuilding costs, and a lot of people default to the former. So for those kind of nuance that's being highlighted by those kind of texts, have you any recommendations for those people, Paul?
Yeah, well, interestingly, what tends to happen, if you're not quite sure, it's actually worth asking people like Pete what it would cost to be able to get work done on your home. And you'll find a lot of people have been asking builders how much it would cost for a kitchen, how much it would cost for an attic. And quite a lot of that did go on during the, as Pete mentioned, during the wake of the COVID-19 crisis, where a number of householders had built up a little pot of cash and they were then beginning to use that money for home improvements because we're returning some rooms into small offices and that type of thing, Anton. So it is worth checking with a builder if you're not quite sure, if it isn't on the SCSI website. But also, the thing I'd point out to consumers like that who are not quite sure, if you're not quite sure, the cost of adding an extra couple of thousand onto it, and I'm not trying to, by the way, get people to pay more, Anton, but you're talking about every 50,000 increase in your rebuild policy is going to cost you around 15, 20 euros in your policy. Now, I know we don't want to be paying more right now, but it isn't going to change your policy by hundreds. So I know many people listening today will probably think, oh my God, this is going to cost a fortune. Actually, the value, it's one of those component questions. And so it is going to cost a little bit more, but not a lot more just to get the right cover in there.
Paul, thank you very much. That is Paul Walsh, CEO of People Insurance.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.